Hello and welcome back to episode 58 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. I am your host, Perry the Pig. With me, as always, after a very long downtime with no podcast, is Dread. Dread, what's going on? Welcome back, dude.
Hello, this is Dread. And after a very, very long break, I think like probably at least 6 to 7 months, I'd have to go check. But like, it's been a long time coming, but we're finally back because a certain game that we play has released a trailer, a very good one, in fact.
It's got to be like the best trailer I've ever seen. Like, I've seen a lot of trailers. I've watched a lot of Path of Exile stuff. Like, I get it. I don't want to say like this game's better than that game, but like this trailer was a really good trailer. Somebody made a joke about the trailer for like the upcoming 1.2 season, which is launching April 2nd, by the way, not April 1st. It's not a joke. April 2nd. Someone made a joke about it and they're like, hey, by the way, before you watch it, you should know. They said, I paused the video like once a second to just see what was going on in the screen. And I said, surely you're pulling my leg. Like, there's no way that's actually true. So the first 30 seconds of the video is like, you know, cinematic, but like, you know, cool stuff happening. The last 30 seconds of the video is like, you know, another cinematic about this guy telling me that he wants to put me in a web. The guts of the video, like that minute and a half right there, you have to pause the video once a second, like once every 2 seconds, just to see what's going on the screen. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it's really funny because there's been a few memes already, like the Karen spider meme already. That was really funny.
Wow, is it hair? Is it a mustache? What's happening with that spider?
That's what it looks like. Why, you know?
Why did they choose that? Like,
it needs to become an official emote.
But like, someone made that and they ran it by like Judd and like, hey Judd, you said you wanted the spider to look like Karen who wants the manager, right? Yes? Okay, you got it. I'll ship it. Your video now, dude.
Yeah, I'm really excited after watching the trailer because, like, oh my goodness, have we been waiting. And it's definitely enough content to make up for that wait, which is, like, what I'm excited for. The only problem is, like, if we get, like, a new patch within, like, 3 to 4 months of 1.2 coming out, which I hope, by the way, that would be great. That means that like the next like episode, I mean, the next like expansion is like kind of like probably going to end up having less in it. So like people are like, wow, this isn't as good as the last one. I'm like, well, because they're like, this is like two updates.
Right. Like we've been like not playing Last Epoch for a year, 7 months, 9 months, a long time. But before we jump into it, like I know there are some lunatics, there's some diehard fans who've been playing Last Epoch this entire time. Before you and I start talking about what's going on in the 1.2 patch coming up in like a month and a half from now, what have you been doing in the meantime? Have you been Path of Exile the whole time? What have you been doing?
So I took just a long month break of just not doing anything because spending time with the wife and stuff like that. And then after that, I played PoE 2, which I enjoyed. I know it's like it's a cool kid thing to like shit on Path of Exile or 2 right now, but whatever. Like, I don't know, like they had like 200,000 people still playing after a month. Like, it doesn't really matter. I don't think. I think it's a very small minority of people who hate on PoE 2 still. But I enjoyed that. And then after that, I was like, well, I have literally nothing else to do in January, so I got to figure out something else to do. And I've just been literally pressing the character select button and making a new character every other day or whatever. And we are at number 14 so far of the 10 out of 10 Harbinger runs. It's like a character. I take it from level 1, end soul character found, and then I bring it all the way to 10 out of 10 Harbingers because I want to get good at leveling, first things off. The second thing, I want to make good info for new players if they want to do their 10 out of 10 Harbinger grind on League Start, right? So I got to do that. And also as well, I wanted to test out a bunch of builds that I just didn't really have time to test out for, because I'll be honest, whenever I play Last Epoch, I usually don't play what everyone else is playing, mainly because, like, what's the point in playing Torment Warlock if everyone else is playing it? So I just play a lot of other stuff. But this time has given me the opportunity to play some of the more OP and broken stuff, which has been fun.
Love it.
Great. It's been great so far.
So You came back to like the world of Last Epoch a little bit before I did, because you've already been making like these, you know, level 1 to like 90, 10 out of 10 Harbinger stuff. I've been playing a different video game, and like I'm just gonna talk about it for 10 seconds here, but I've been playing like The Bazaar, which is way more exciting than I thought it was. So like auto battler fans, if that's their kind of thing, I love it. I'm sad about the current patch in the game. My boy Dooley isn't very good, but I like that game way more than I thought it was going to. So I've been enjoying that since like the end of October or so, like a couple months now. All right, so that's out of the way. We have a patch coming up in a month and a half. We have a couple of videos or a couple things that we're going to talk about from the spoiler video from yesterday, because there's a lot to say and a lot of speculation and a lot of like fun crafting stuff that you and I can talk about right now. We just had a couple new things that we learned from the dev stream that just ended a couple minutes ago, including the fact that there's a node on the World Wide Web. Or sorry, it's the Weaver's skill tree. There's a node on the Weaver's skill tree that says you don't ever need to do an arena again. Arena echoes no longer spawn. I feel like I'm getting trolled. Like, is it real? Is he just like memeing on us?
I mean, my problem with it is this isn't really the best solution I would give, because like, oh, this content is bad. It's terrible. Let's just make it so people can remove it.
Counterpoint. Alongside that node being spoiled, because like there's a node that says, you know, take this node, you'll never see an arena echo again. There's a different node that says your arena echoes will have what was it, like arena champions or something?
Yeah, we're gonna have like champions. The champions, the rare mobs in like the trailer, they're essentially just like beefed up rare mobs pretty much that have their own drop pool.
Yeah, so the new champion monsters, and they said like those can appear in your arena echoes. Like if it ends up being the case that you want to be farming those specific monsters as much as possible, because they have like their own loot table, they have their own affixes that can drop, those are spoiled in the video from yesterday too, maybe you want to keep arenas so that you can specifically farm these guys. Like maybe that's a strategy for you.
Yeah, well in theory I'll be playing Merchant's Guild, so I just make other people do it.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you're still planning on doing Merchant's Guild and having better characters. I'm still planning on playing CWF and having worse characters.
Recently I've realized that like it's been really nice playing MG at the beginning of the season and then playing COF at the end of the season, because it's just convenient, because then I get to play two different versions of Last Epoch, you know?
Aw, that's so wholesome. It's like two different video games. Cool. So the Weaver's Web thing, with our very first glance that we got at it kind of today, it looks like we already know it's an endgame faction. It looks like this is going to be a way to like tailor what your echoes are going to look like. We've seen some screenshots from the video where it looks like they're taking an echo and putting it on the web. So like you can tailor.
It's like synthesis.
Yeah. Like build your own web, like, you know, put this thing here. Maybe you path around a dangerous modifier so you don't have to like do that kind of thing. But it looks very exciting.
Well, you can skip over the chance of dodge echoes and like
right.
increase crit ones and stuff like that. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Skipping over increased crit. Wait, you don't cap your crit avoid?
Not on day one. Like, anyways, these are going to be insane for day one.
Having more ways to tailor my endgame experience sounds awesome. I want to know what other echoes I can use. I don't know what I have right now, but I don't know, man. Well, like, I already like the endgame.
You can spoil with one of them.
Oh, go ahead. What do we have?
One moment. I'm scrolling up in my Discord. One moment. I'm trying to find it. It's the Orbis one.
What's the Orbis one?
It's like the one where the Orbis gauntlet one.
I'm clicking on links that people are posting live in Twitch chat right
Confluence
now.
Confluence of Oblivion. Here it is.
What's Confluence of Oblivion?
All right. So
I've got it pulled up too. You read it.
Yeah. Defeat a shade of Orbis of each type to reset this timeline's web of echoes and gain corruption based on the highest corruption reached in any timeline by any character with access to the same stash as this one. You may place at the altar of the Weaver and complete the echo to get 2 Weaver tree points. So what this means is we're going to fight like 5 shades. That's going to be cool.
Defeat a shade of Orbis of each type. And this is one like echo. Five.
Yeah, it's one echo. It's like a woven echo you like put there. Yeah. Because it says there.
We're fighting like at a time?
at a time. I don't know exactly.
Defeat a shade of Erebus of each type.
Yeah, it just says of each type, so I don't know exactly.
To reset the timeline web of the Echoes and gain corruption based on the highest corruption reached in any timeline by any character with access to the same. So the output of this is that you can gain corruption equal to your first character when you're playing your second character, right?
Yeah.
That's what it does?
There's way more interesting things.
Okay.
So it says gain corruption based on the highest corruption reached by any timeline.
Yeah, okay.
So like on any character. So you know how like you log into a new character and they don't have enough corruption for the corruption scaling and stuff like that.
Right.
You have to do the whole grind again.
Right.
You don't have to do that anymore. You just do one of these. You just
right. Because like your second character is going to have better gear than your first character is.
Yeah. And you just pop one of these and all of a sudden your echo's at like 1,000. And then what you can do is you can even manipulate your echoes even more, because even if let's say, you are 1,000 corruption on your first character. Your second corruption isn't that well geared yet because you just got it in the level 70, but you want to go to like 300 corruption. You put in this echo, and then you just reduce your corruption to like 300, 500.
Yeah, so like you'd still need to be able to fight those like Sanctuary of Abitera, like those little statue monsters.
Yeah.
So like that might take like a minute or two.
They're not that difficult. Trust me, they're not that difficult. But this allows you to like manipulate exactly what corruption you want to start your second character at, which is cool.
What? Yeah. So I'm looking at Twitch chat as well. Imagine fighting five shades at the same time. It surely you're like you fight one and then like there's a portal. You fight the second one. There's a portal. But it's either one or the other. Either you're fighting one after another, or you're fighting five of them at the same time.
Either way, that's still fun. I could imagine that. You know, there's something very similar in Path of Exile. There was used to be the release all for the feared fight.
Yeah, that's a great observation. Okay.
Yeah. Like that's very fun. Like
okay.
if it's like that, that would be really cool.
Okay. This also makes it so that if you're trying to farm like an LP Omnis, for example. Or like an LP Apathy's Maw if you're playing Warpath VK
specifically
or something.
The belt.
Oh yeah, because the belt's kind of like non-trivial to get. It's hard.
Yeah, and it has a high LP. Mm-hmm. And like it's a lot more used because you know melee builds need all the help they can get. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like it's like, and another cool thing about this, okay, is because of the corruption catch-up mechanic, you only need one of these per character. Because what you can do is you can have a character as 1,000, go to the next one,
go to your next character,
bump it up to however much corruption it's going to go up by, and then keep that monolith untouched, because the way that the corruption catch-up mechanic works on your highest echo, your highest one. So you just go around and kind of like manipulate your corruption level based on what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like it literally allows you to do exactly what you want with each individual character other than your first. So now from now on you only have to do the gigantic corruption grind once per like account or whatever, right?
Yeah, per character in that hardcore or softcore or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You only have to do it once.
Okay.
And every other time you get a confluence of Oribus or whatever it's called. Yeah, confluence of Oblivion.
Confluence of Oribus. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Do the next one. Bam. Good to go. And like I like that because it makes rolling alts so much easier in general because I can just do exactly the content I want to do.
I'm remembering one of my favorite things that I used to do when I played Path of Exile. We would get like five or six people in a party together, and then we'd load up. At the time, the relevant boss was Uber Elder. So like we get five or six people, like some people were well geared, some people were like potato geared, some people were intentionally memeing and like just trying to off themselves. But like we'd all like run into an Uber out there at the same time and we'd basically brick the set, but it was a lot of fun. I'm looking at this and I'm wondering how much fun I'm going to get to have with this. It might be enjoyable to load up like four people. You know, some people are high leveled, some people are like kind of papega, and just like see what you can do. So
the only problem with it though is like the way that it works. So if you put it on your echo web, like they show on the thing, it's based on that echo web probably of corruption. Like, does it have a set difficulty? right? Or does it work off of corruption like everything else does?
Okay. Or like, because does it scale with like distance from the center? Does it scale with the modifiers that are otherwise there?
I'm pretty sure that would probably do it.
Okay.
Yeah, that would probably. But my problem specifically with that is just like, okay, so there's an opportunity cost here. If you use it to catch up, you're doing it at 100 corruption. You're fighting 100 corruption.
Yes. Shares. Yes.
And the way that, like, as long as we get multiple, this is fine. But if you're trying to farm for stuff, you're going to want to put it on a really high corruption.
Uh-huh.
So there's a huge difference between doing 100 corruption shade, five of them, and doing like 5,000 corruption. Because if you do not know, this is not well known because this was done a very long time ago, like 3 to 4 years. Orbis scales harder on corruption. Like he gets faster and much faster. There's a reason why back then the only way you could push corruption to ridiculous modifiers in the old way was by just freezing him the whole time with snap freeze, right? That's why those builds could push so high, because Orbis, like, he gets really nasty later on. Like,
someone's
really nasty,
because someone's
faster.
I'm gonna interrupt you. Someone's mentioning in Twitch chat that this is not working for SSF. This should work for like account found SSF,
not solo character.
Yeah, like solo character found is one character, one stash. So this doesn't do much except for allow you to fight the monster or like fight the boss five times, presumably. But if you're playing like account found SSF, like account, like just like a solo account found, then this would allow you to share corruption between characters.
Yeah. I can't wait to see some of the highlights of this, the toxic combo.
The potential for this to be like everything that I want to watch on like a highlight reel is very high. I love this. This looks great for me.
Dude, there's going to be like, can your build do the 1,000? Can your build do the 1,000?
Oh, your build can't do it? Your build's garbage.
Yeah. You can't kill five of them at once at 1,000 corruption, buddy. It's like, you like slot one in just to prove them wrong, and there's like five of the meteor orbises immediately. Or actually, I'll be honest, I really could not imagine trying to deal with five oblivion dashes at once.
it sounds like a good time. I can't wait to die to it. I'm gonna remind people in Twitch chat that if you have highlights from the dev stream, feel free to post like imager links or like image links in chat. We'll click on those. There's another one that someone linked. This is something called Bountiful Sarcophagy, and this is presumably this is something that's on the Weaver's skill tree. The Weaver's skill tree, it's a end game faction, kind of like the Forgotten Knight faction that we already have access to. I assume that they're not mutually exclusive. I assume that you have like your item faction, which is like Merchant or COF, and then you also have Forgotten Knights, and then you also have your Weaver's faction. I assume that's how it works. So in that, like, you level up, you kill monsters, you get points for this skill tree. This one says, rare monsters in your tombs and cemeteries have a small chance to drop that timeline's boss specific rewards. It's a very small chance, like 0.1 per point, so like 3 points is 0.3% chance, which is small, but like having a chance to drop literally a Ravenous Void from like a monster. Mm-hmm. This seems great. This seems real useful, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we saw a little bit of the tombs and the cemeteries in the video. They look amazing.
They do, don't they?
They're getting so good at that. Like, obviously you can see the progression of going from like, I don't know, stuff that was made like, I don't know, a few years ago, like Herot, and then you just compare that to Tombs of the Erased.
Completely agree.
So good.
It always stuck with me that there are quest echoes that end up being optional late game, but there's quest echoes for the individual bosses in each timeline. And it always felt like quest number one and quest number two, you know, the optional ones, it always felt like those had really good pack size and really good density. And like, they were optional, but I also enjoyed doing them just because like there were a lot of monsters there. And like, that's something that I missed from playing Path of Exile a long time ago. The small videos that we've got for these tombs and these like cemetery echoes, it looks like there's a lot of monsters in there, doesn't it? Like, I don't know if that's so like far, only something for end game or like that's something for early game as well, but it looks like something that I really want to participate in. All right, cool. So that's that. Let me scroll back through chat real quick, make sure that I'm not missing anything else. Two other spoilers from today. Are those the only spoilers that we got in dev stream?
I don't know. I had to look at my Discord. They would have sent more if there was. Doesn't seem like it. We can continue.
Super, yeah. Later. They said a super arena echoes with additional champions. Disabled champions, or sorry, disabling arena. God, disabling arena sounds so good.
Oh, do you see? There is a boss in the clip. It is like a twin-headed dragon. That looks really cool.
Oh, you DM'd me. That. Oh shit. I don't know if I can click on DMs. Can I click on DMs while I'm in Discord on a call?
You might have to turn off my camera. Let me turn off my camera for you.
Wait, I guess I can. I'll just. I'm gonna go like that real quick. All right, I'm gonna hide Dread.
Mm-hmm.
All right, nobody look at Dread. It's very important. Don't do it, chat. Don't do it, chat. Don't look at him. Click, 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 click.
Also, the new art for Devouring Orb looks pretty good too.
Okay, so we'll go like this. Yeah, there was Devouring Orb in the... I'm going to turn your video back on. There you go. There was Devouring... Something that looked like Devouring Orb, I would assume it was Devouring Orb, in the video as well. Where, like, the Sentinel, like, dashed, and then 5 Devouring Orbs appeared immediately, and, like, they all kind of exploded, and, like, they focused in on the boss. Yeah. Like, something going on with Devouring Orb. Yeah, it looked really good.
Oh, wait, I mean, we already know about that because the new Volatile Reversal is going to make them move because of the node. That
oh, really?
Yeah, they showed that.
La la.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new Volatile Reversal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like a tiny bit skeptical about like the Volatile Reversal stuff because like there's no way that they can add enough damage into Sentinel to make up for removing the damage off of Volatile Reversal.
Well, right? Like I'm a little bit skeptical about it. I think when they raided us, they talked about it, apparently, that, like, specifically here, that they claimed that most Sentinel skills are getting a massive damage bonus. Mike claims they are all overall buffed. So, I wonder what that means.
Boy, listen, I've got 5 things that just got DM'd to me, so I'm going to take a look at them. We have Heartseeker. Cool. So Heartseeker is the, I guess it's the image for the new
marksman only
for the rogue skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bow skill.
Oh, it's in the dev. It's actually in the dev. Ask the devs too.
Here you go. Is it okay? Gotcha. So it's like fizz, fire, poison. Are those the 3 icons that I see next to it? Okay. Oh, what is this thing?
Yeah.
You just posted this in Twitch chat too. Okay. Yeah, that image right there. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, we don't know much.
We can see gameplay of it.
It looks like a.
There's also a unique based off of it too. If you like a little read like specifically.
Oh, it's cold, not poison. Okay, so it's got cold conversion to it. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like a heat seeking projectile bow skill. I mean, cool. Mm-hmm. I like it. Hopefully, it's good.
It's great. Yeah, I'm up for very good marksman skills after they eventually nerf blast rain due to it being insanely strong.
The unique,
what Sonoka said.
The unique makes it into a throwing skill. All of a sudden, I'm more excited. Oh, I like throwing skills a lot more than I like bow skills. Okay, that's cool. I know that marksman's fine. Like I get it. Like multi shots fine. Like the new blast drain stuff with explosive Travis. Like I get it. It's just like marksman hasn't changed in a very long time. It's fine. It's just like for me, I never get excited when I load up a marksman. So like having a new skill, awesome. One of my gripes with Rogue and with Marksman over time has been that if you compare like the raw number of skills that like a Rogue has access to, it's just like 3, 4, 5, or 6 fewer compared to the other classes in the game. It's like, yeah, good. If we got more skills, good. We got room for even more skills. I'd like even more of this, please. Yeah. If it's a Marksman only skill, why would you convert? Why would you convert a Marksman skill to a throwing skill? Maybe it's at like the bottom half of the skill tree. Maybe other classes could use
Why would you convert a marksman's only skill to a melee skill? Oh, wait, it's super busted.
Hey, stop.
That's
it.
Why. Not again.
Maybe. So we have a new marksman skill. I don't know where it is on the skill tree. Maybe it's exclusive. Maybe it's on the bottom half, but I'm going to click on this other thing.
Well, we were told it was marksman exclusive.
Oh, is it? Okay, gotcha.
Yes, it is marksman exclusive.
All right, so the other thing that was DM'd to me is arena echoes have a chance to be replaced with super arena echoes. I don't know what a super arena is. Maybe it just has an extra echo or like an extra champion in it, but we'll see more on that. Arena echoes no longer appear in your echo web. Yeah, we saw that one. And then rare enemies near Tomb of Sanitarius have a chance to drop the timeline boss specific.
Yeah, that's going to be insanely strong, though. Because, like, there, like, for instance, a good example here is the uniques from Lagan, specifically the relic, is a pretty good relic.
It is.
But actually fighting Lagan?
True. Also, like, if you're fighting the boss, you're only doing one thing at a time, and it takes at least 1 minute because, like, the in between
phase.
This
is also really good for, like, whatever. Like, there's a point in Last Epoch where you're not pushing corruption anymore, and the Harbinger drops aren't good for you, or you don't care about them. And same thing with the boss drops. The only reason you'd be killing the bosses at that point is for keys and for corruption pushing. Mm-hmm. And if you're done corruption pushing, you end up getting to the point where you're just done doing bosses, right? You're just done doing bosses, right? Like, you're just done. Like, that's it. And with this confluence, too, what it means, though, too, is there's builds that can get to high corruption that don't have to interact with a single boss.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, because what you can do is you can reduce your, like, okay, let's say you have character one, gets to 1,000 corruption. Character two, you're never going to touch a boss ever. So you put in the 5 confluence, like any character can handle 5 orifices at 100 corruption. Let's be real, right? Cool, right? You kill those, get your corruption up, then you reduce your corruption 10 by 10 just to reset your monolith web when you're done with your monolith web, right? Because, like, you'd either have to kill an orifice to reset your monolith web, or you'd have to reduce your corruption by 10 to reduce it. And you just keep doing that. And then all of a sudden, you never have to touch a boss ever again. That's interesting. I like
that. I think about that one node that got teased to us, like, today, and, like, there's a whole web of what the Weaver's faction is going to allow us to do. I want to see everything else. Like, I'm already thinking about, like, my strategy. We don't really have strategies in Last Epoch endgame farming right now. Like, technically maybe, but really you just blast and kill monsters. But, like, having more strategy, having something that, I mean, I'm going to keep comparing it to Path of Exile, because Path of Exile is a huge game. Having things that look like the Atlas skill tree makes me want to log in. Like, I love it. I love having more skill trees, more options to, like, you know, focus on just farming this with the opportunity cost of not farming that instead. I'm excited about it. I'm going to pull up the video to make sure that I have all my talking points in line here. So we have two things here. This one's called the Tomb of the Erased. One called Cemeteries of the Erased. One is like an encounter in an echo. And the other thing is something that you put on your monolith web, something along those lines. And all I want to say is, like,
you can see in the trailer, right? When they look at the monolith web, there's, like, tomb looking kind of echoes. Like, you can actually see it. There's, like, these things with
doors. Okay, so maybe not only putting them on your web, but also they just, like, appear naturally.
Yeah.
The one shout out that I have is, like, if I'm doing an echo in, like, normal endgame monolith farming, and there's, like, a side area that I can walk into, to me, it feels like a Val side area from Path of Exile.
I mean, it pretty much is.
It looks like that. That's what it feels like to me when I look at it. I've wanted that in Last Epoch for, like, 5 years. If that's what it is, I think it's going to feel amazing.
Well, as long as it's not exactly like a Val side area, because, like, you don't really do those in normal PoE anymore, because not profitable or anything like that.
It's not profitable.
But of course, this is gonna be tied to the mechanics, probably. So
yeah, we'll see. Like, maybe they're small, maybe they're huge, maybe, like, they're the, you know, entire size of a map. Maybe it's, like, you know, one pack of monsters. We don't know. So that's gonna flavor our opinions on the whole thing. Let's see. So there was Tombs of the Erased, Cemeteries of the Erased. There's Woven Echoes, which in the video it showed, like, some kind of inventory where, like, you drag and drop, you put additional stuff onto your web, which sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. We don't know many details.
What's cool about that, too, is you can do this. Like, you can do a monolith until you see a undo one, like undo echo.
The Vessel of Memory?
Mm-hmm, Vessel of Memory. And then undo that and then do them again. Like, in endgame farming, you can probably have these echoes and then redo them multiple times.
Yeah, that's kinda cool. The Vessel of Memory and the Vessel of Chaos, for a long time in Last Epoch, they're like these meta echoes that allow you to manipulate the web, but there really wasn't that much of a payoff for them.
Well, it was really weird, because we had this portion where they were kind of relevant. So what happened was we got Monolith special echoes, like with like uniques, like this uniques for each one, and same thing with Exalted. But then we got the factions, which are just a better version of doing that, right? So they.
Did we lose Dread or did we lose me?
No, I'm right here.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. They like, it's kind of funny because they went in and out of relevance. But now they're back to being relevant, which is cool.
Maybe not
the reroll one, but the other ones.
But the reroll, like now having the reroll one, having the reroll one now seems a lot more interesting if you're actually investing your currency or like investing your echoes into this web, right?
Yeah.
Like I watch a lot of content. I consume a lot of content for Less Debug. I've seen people write guides for how to make good use of a vessel of memory. And it's like, yeah, you're technically right. I hear you. But like, really, is that really what you're spending your time on instead of just like blasting more monsters? And now it seems like that is going to exist. It seems like we're going to have guides out there for how to make good use of the vessel of memory, the vessel of chaos, where to place these things. Like, that's exciting. I like that.
And which of these woven echoes to farm as well?
They're like, don't waste this one. Only use it over here, you know?
Well, if you look at the woven echoes that they show us, there's a little bit of a completion mechanic on it.
Okay.
So on the Confluence of Oblivion one second, I should just go to the dev stream. It's way easier.
Gotcha.
Ask the devs. Find that. Here it is. It says at the bottom, place it. Altar of the Weaver and complete Echo to earn 2 Weaver tree points. I'm going to just assume that means the tree, right? Mm-hmm. So that means that completing these will give us Weaver points. So we get progression based on them. So in theory, you will have to complete these to progress on your tree. So you will at least have to use one on each one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm clicking my way through this video to make sure that I got my talking points in. Like, we got the new skill, like the Sentinel rework, something about Devouring Orb is going on. Got like champion enemies, which we don't know much about them, but they're big. And yeah, if there's one thing that I like in action RPGs, it's like visually large monsters. I love that kind of thing. So along with champion enemies, I don't know, like our champion enemies are gonna be like that.
Did you see the Monolith updates? The big boss looks like it's from Diablo 2.
Yeah, like the worm looking thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it looks so good.
Reminds me of like Starship Troopers as well.
I want it. So we have champion enemy affixes, which seem like I don't know if you can craft with them or you can shatter them or put them in other places, or are these experimental affixes? Like, are they drop only? I don't know anything about champion enemy affixes, but there's some wild ones, and I'm just gonna read off a small handful of them right now. So we have like haste after you use evade, dodge rating while using evade on an acolyte helmet.
I'm pretty sure actually to save you a lot of time, there is an Imgur link of everything.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
No, you can post that in chat, but I'm gonna keep reading here. Yeah, so we have ward per second, percent of current health converted to ward when you cast a necrotic spell. Which sounds a lot like Twisted Heart of Akeros, which is busted. It's a very strong item. So like having that on a relic or having that on like a pair of gloves or something, you could have that in addition to Twisted Heart. Like, it sounds really, really strong. We have things that say reduced health cost of skills, minion damage, minions teleported around you. Like, we've seen similar things. +1 maximum shadows. Sounds big. +1 maximum companions. +1 maximum skeletons. Like, there's cool stuff going on here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of uniques, too, but I'm sure we can make that next week's episode, probably. It's talking about all the new uniques. If you don't know, the trailer itself released a lot of, like, unique info, including some that may or may be inspired by Perry. Maybe. Well,
so, scroll ahead real quick. So, there's a new unique item that's called Pearls of the Swine, which is exciting. It's a pig's head, which... you know, I think it's cool. But the flavor text says something about Perrin the Swineherd. I don't know much about that item, chat. We'll learn more about that particular unique item in the coming weeks. But it looks good. Looks like it's got different text for what Bone Curse can also apply. And like having Bone Curse apply acid skin, frankly, sounds amazing. So
one of the best minion items to ever exist, by the way.
Yeah, love minion builds. Love that item.
Of course.
Yeah, pretty cool. So I'm gonna flip back in the video real quick because we have three new end game crafting materials. So like,
oh boy, we can talk about those.
Yeah. Oh, we will absolutely talk about these. So there's three of them. I'm gonna read off the first one and then we'll talk about it. Okay. So the first one, not the most exciting one, but I will read it. It's called the Rune of Weaving. It says transforms a small amount of Weaver's Will on an item to legendary affixes. What does it do? It looks like it just does your farming for you. So if you want to buy, if you want to buy like 20 like Weaver rings, like I know you do in particular, Dread, you just you just pound all of these, and you just, you know, you don't have to farm anymore.
Yeah, well now you just farm whatever content drops these, and then you just do them later, right? And it just saves you so much time. Because usually when you're trying to use a Weaver's item, you're trying to use a specific one and you want specific things on it. So like you're going to save up all your runes of weaving for that time.
Yeah. And like instead of just like taking off a ring and putting on a placeholder that has no text on it, like that always felt bad. But now maybe even COF, could COF have a prophecy for these? Yeah, that'd be nice. Come on, Mike. Let me do it, Mike, please. Yeah. So that's a good addition to the game. I like that. Along with all the new Weaver unique items are coming in the game too. The second crafting material that we're going to talk about, and this one will be like slightly longer than 30 seconds to discuss, is called a Rune of Havoc. It says, shuffles the tiers of non-sealed affixes on an exalted item with four non-sealed affixes. So you need four affixes, it sounds like.
Yep.
You need one of them to be exalted, at least one of them to be exalted. And like you could start with tier 7 health regen, and then if you shuffle, you might end up with tier 7 hybrid health.
Yeah, and an
which sounds
part of this,
incredibly powerful.
Important part of this too is cannot result in all affixes having the same tiers as before. Mm-hmm. So they all change around.
They will change.
Always.
Yep.
And the next one is, and cannot be used on items where all the non-sealed affixes have the same tier. So what's interesting about this is you can have three tier 5s on an item and a tier 7, and you can just use runes or runes of havoc to shift that tier 7 around pretty much, right?
Sure could. That sounds sure pretty good. So like if you have, you know, like tier 7 flat health, like you just put some other affixes on it and like it's going to become something else, you know. Can it break an item by making it non-exalt? It says it shuffles. So if it shuffles, something's going to end up as exalted. Presumably.
Yeah, well, in terms of bricking, like it will use a forging potential, no?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, like it, but the thing is like exalted items have the most forging potential in the game.
Right.
And, you know, if you drop an item, like let's say tier 7 stun chance on a pair of gloves that you want, you can just throw on melee attack speed and whatever else affixes you want on the item, and then just start rolling and see if you get tier 7 attack speed on it.
The potential downside of this is that now I need to pick up items that have tier 7.
Oh, this is 100% a COF nerf. 100%.
It's a COF nerf, isn't it?
Because
I need to pick
COF
up not only the tier 7s that have good affixes, but now I need to pick up the garbage tier 7 affixes too, right?
Technically, white items have the highest possible forging potential.
All right, we're about to get well actually by Mike in Twitch chat.
I'm just confused now.
I thought exalted items had the highest forging potential.
Which white items?
I thought they did. Well, actually, you see. Oh my god, we're gonna get a lesson. We're gonna get a lesson on crafting right now. Let's keep going. We have one more. While we wait for the explanation, we have one more new endgame crafting material that they just introduced to the game on April 2nd. It's called a Rune of Redemption. It says randomly changes the exalted affix on an item into different affixes. Does not change.
Wait. Huh? What do you mean? There is a very low chance for white items to have crazy spiked forging potential.
What? Do you mean? What do you mean very low chance? Just make it 50. What? Come on, dude.
The problem is we can't filter forging potential on the thing, so we'd never know.
I would never know. Wait. I wanted to talk about the April 2 patch.
I know, I did too, but
I don't. Why? Come on,
that
come
makes
on,
no
Mike.
Sense. What?
I love having members of EHG in Twitch chat. You know, I also hate members of EHG in Twitch chat.
You know what? What we're going to do is, which is exactly why we don't advertise it, because it's brain poison. It's brain poison. You don't need to know it.
We're just
going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Okay. Okay. So I guess you can pick up white items. Yeah, Chet, you should put, I'm going to make a crafting guide. And I'm going to say you should put white items on your loot filter.
Yeah.
Just in case. All right. We're going to try to ignore that and we're going to move on. All right. So the Rune of Redemption randomly changes an exalted affix to a different exalted affix. So to me, I think about like what's a normal boring use case for this?
I call this the Diablo 4 crafting rune because it's literally Diablo 4 crafting.
Oh, I've never played Diablo 4. You tell me the example.
In Diablo 4, you could like, I think in Diablo 4, you could change, in Season 1, you could change one affix on an item and that's it. And you could re-roll it or whatever. And this is pretty much what that is because you're changing the exalted affix.
Right.
And re-rolling it. This is also a COF nerf, by the way.
Because you need to pick up all the garbage items. Completely
everything.
Agree.
Literally.
And like you're incentivized to like craft on them and like use more crafting materials. It just, come on, man. Yeah. All right. So if you have an item that has like, you know, tier 5 vitality, tier 5 health, tier 5% health, and tier 7 chance to put your glasses on in the morning, like you have to pick that item up because you have to use a Rune of Redemption.
Well, what's really cool about it is there's a little bit of a meta with this.
Go on.
Because normally, if you're playing a build, right, and you need, let's say, I need resistance on this slot, or I need HP on this slot, odds are you are going to be able to use a Rune of Redemption to hit a relevant suffix significantly more often than you could use, like, on a prefix.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure.
Because there's so many more suffixes most builds need versus, like, prefixes. Because, like, if I roll attunement on, like, my strength stacking sentinel, that's worthless to me. Mm-hmm. But if I hit necrotic, his void,
or health, or you know, flat armor, percent armor, like this, all the suffixes are fine.
Well, this is all assuming that you have surplus of these runes. You'll find more exalted in these runes. But now, that's even worse because actually, that would be even worse because now what you do is you just save up all the exalted items in your stash and you wait for when you're playing a build that's relevant for that item and you roll on it then instead, because you don't want to waste your runes of, you know, you don't want to waste your Runes of Redemption on things that you're not using.
Okay,
right?
I love the idea of sitting here and like brainstorming different use cases for these. We will. I'm gonna throw out another one real quick because I enjoy this. So the Rune of Havoc, like take a step back real quick. The Rune of Havoc said shuffle the tiers of non-sealed affixes. So imagine this kind of thing, right? Imagine that like you're playing Frostclaw because you're a meta slave and you really want to hit tier 7 plus levels to Frostclaw. If you find a relic that has any tier 7 modifier on it, you just craft tier 1 Frostclaw on it, and then you Havoc it once or twice, hoping that the tier 7 goes to Frostclaw, and then slam it on like a 1 or 2 LP unique item, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the plus 7 to, or like plus 4 to Frostclaw, like the tier 7 modifier for Frostclaw, was super expensive in Merchant's Guild in the past. This makes it significantly more available to lots of people.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I like that.
What's really cool about the Rune of Redemption though, is it literally does what it says and it redeems all those meme-y double tier 6 items.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely it does, yes.
Yeah, or at least you can have a chance of making it better anyways, at the very least, right? That's cool. What's really good though is because like what would end up happening is you'd, like, people were talking about this in terms of COF. You would have, like, Cookbook has been dealing with this for so long now.
Okay.
He's been trying to get an Exalted Oracle Amulet with Tier 7 HP regen because he's playing a Vessel of Strife like Beastmaster, and he's trying to not die to dots. So he's been trying to get a Tier 7 one. Mm-hmm. And what would happen to him is he'd drop everything except for health regen And this, like this, both of these runes help mm-hmm. him in this situation and get him out of that. Right.
Right. I got to interrupt one more time. It, something just came to mind. I had like a flash of divine intervention real quick. So I don't know how much time y'all spend on Reddit. Hopefully less time than me. But there was a response that MoxJet200 made to somebody on the Last Epoch subreddit. MoxJet, of course, is Judd. He's like the game director, whatever. So somebody made a joke saying that this is actually on the Karen spider joke, the meme we were talking about a second ago. Where the spider looks like it looks like Karen, looks like one talk to the manager. So someone said, like, this is me after the 3LP slam carries over the tier 5 affixes instead of my tier 7 affix. Like joking about having bad RNG while slamming stuff. Judd responded to that joke. He said, "We're taking care of you in season 2. You'll understand soon." This was a day ago. We don't understand yet, but like something about 3LP slams or slam RNG is slam RNG changing? I mean,
something about slams is changing, probably, right? At the very least.
I want it to. We're taking care of you in season 2. Taking care of, so like,
we'll help you out, buddy. What? It's okay.
Can we like slam twice and like decide which one we want or something? Can we have like lucky slams? You saw that too? Yeah, we have no idea what Judd's talking about. I like getting teased. I'm kind of into it. Like, don't tell my wife, but you know, like I would also like to know what on earth he's talking about.
Yeah.
So slam RNG is changing in some way too.
Yeah.
All right.
That could be good. That could be good.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Wink, wink. Yeah.
Really good for specific items. That'd be good.
Slam. Oh my God. Slam with advantage. Slam twice. Take the better outcome. Please, God, let me choose that. That'd be so much fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. If you just slam twice, that'd be kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
which one of these do you want?
We have like new items, new unique items. We have something else that's being introduced to the game. It's what's the word they use? Cocooned. There's new cocooned items, like cocooned scepters.
They put ID scrolls. What is this?
Well, it doesn't look like ID scrolls, does it? It's like you equip the item, or like maybe you pick up the item or something in order to see what it is. Yeah. So,
well, if you look at the thing, right, it says reveal on attempt to equip. So I'm going to assume they mean in Last Epoch, you equip by pressing right click.
Okay? Yeah.
So you try to put it on and it reveals it. And like now we have things on the floor that aren't identified that we have to pick up and right click.
True.
I've been playing Last Epoch to get away from that. Ah!
Okay. So you either like you put them on and like they get stuck on you. Or you put them on and they're like bind on equip. Yeah. They're probably bind on equip, right? This is like the introduction of non-tradable items.
Yeah, it just says literally on the text of the item, reveal by attempting to equip. And it just says like cocooned greatsword. So like, so I'm going to assume it's like a loot box of some kind.
Yeah, here's my garbage hot take, which I absolutely hope is not the case. You try to equip the item, you can't take it off until you kill a boss with it.
That would be awful.
That would be atrocious. But at the end of this video, the guy is like, he like weaves you into a web, and there's like a first person perspective of it, and he's like, "We've woven you in a golden cocoon with silk that not even you can break." And it's like, whoa, okay, like maybe I can't get away from this item while I try to put it on. Hopefully it's bind on equip, but it might be something very strange, so we'll find out.
That'd be bind awful. On equip.
Why would bind on equip be awful? Come on. It's just for you, Dread. Can't make a profit.
Something weird though, I'm noticing. I'm like scrolling, I'm zooming in on it.
Go on.
The base type of the item, it says like unique Imperial Warblade, right? Or
okay.
whatever.
Okay.
And it says like it requires level. Like, is it just gonna be a Warblade with something? But they have the unique text. Like they have the unique text too. So like it, like I don't know.
Oh, are these unique items?
I thought
they were gonna be like exalted items.
You have like the color. You see the color of the text? if you look at that and you compare it to, because like part of it too, right, is in the trailer as well.
Oh, it does say unique. Look at that.
Yeah, and okay. part of the trailer too is they're showing it alongside the uniques. So like mm-hmm. with all of that,
oh, that's true.
Of, like, suppose that it's going to be unique of some kind. That's kind of funny.
Bind on equip unique items that can't be traded. So if you want this end game item, you got to farm it yourself. Is that it? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm into. I'm fine it. With that. I'm a COF all gamer. I'm fine with that.
All I know right now is it looks like a glorified loot box.
Listen, anything that makes Merchant's Guild worse, I'm into it. Merchant's Guild got it too easy. Are we gonna get buffs for COF? Please, come on, dude. I can only have so much copium. Okay, so endgame, new unique items. Mastery respecialization is something. We can chat about this a little bit.
Oh my god, there's...
Is this, okay, is it good or bad?
So many comments.
Is it good or bad that we can now respecialize our masteries?
I don't care. That's the point. That's my problem with it.
I think... There's
all these people saying, it's amazing, it's awful. It's like, I don't... Like, it's good... For like it's good because now I only have to level like 5 characters. Mm-hmm. But the main argument that I have been hearing against it is now there isn't going to be that much build diversity in Last Epoch because everyone's gonna level the same builds. And I'm just like leveling like 0.01% of your entire playtime playing the game. Who cares if I level my like
there are always a much greater density of casual players in a game than it looks like, because the casual players they're not on Reddit, they're not on Twitch, they're not watching this podcast, but there's still like 80% of the population of the game. They're huge. Like, people are still going to play whatever they want to play. I think someone yesterday in Twitch chat said it very well. Like, this does make it so that your choices don't matter as much, because you can always level up in the meta way and then swap over something else later on. And like Last Epoch, for a long time, EHG said, like, we don't want to do mastery respec because we want at least one of your decisions to matter. And now they're changing that. So like, a try hard, sweaty gamer, like, yeah, this is bad because now everyone's going to do, but like, there's so many people out there who this is going to be good for. And you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do it. It's fine. Whatever. I don't care. Yeah. It's really not going to change my life.
It's just weird, awkward, kind of like gatekeepy and stuff like that. Because it's just like, I don't know. I don't think it matters if Timmy can like change his Falconer to a Blade Dancer, you know?
Yeah. Like, he finds out, you know, 10 to 20 hours in, he's like not having fun. He's like, man, I'm gonna play Blade Dancer instead. I gotta level a whole new thing. Like, and then he just stops playing.
That is a quit moment.
Just let him swap it. It's whatever. All right. Just let gamers have fun. We're gonna switch to the next one. This is end game set item crafting. Deep breath. This is either garbage or amazing. Well, and I'm leaning toward amazing.
If you look at the animation that they show,
go on.
It looks like a trash bin. It's the set trash bin. You throw your set items in the trash. It's symbolic.
Okay,
it's the set recycling.
So set item crafting. I said like it's either gonna be garbage or it's gonna be missing. We were talking about this and we came to like it's a kind of an impasse. It's either going to be like you have a set item that has normal affixes on the item, and then it also has at the very, very bottom, it's gonna have like set bonuses. So is set crafting going to be like a set affix or set shard, whatever they call it? Is set crafting going to allow you to make your own set and use the set bonus? Or is it just going to be like the set affix from the top? Because the set affix from the top, there's some interesting stuff you can do with that. I think it'd be much less powerful. The set bonus sounds nuts. Last Epoch game in Twitch chat just said, trust me, get hyped on it. It sounds insane. Like, I can use set items without using the bad part of the set item. Isn't that crazy? Is that really what it is?
I can craft on my gear the decimate, like the gas bar set, and still have it do no damage. Woohoo!
Oh, okay. So the very first thing that everyone thought of is, if it works this way, wait, if it doesn't give the set of, if it works the way that we just described, isn't every mage going to get plus one spell damage per intelligence because they use the Velatria set, or like, you know, the quote unquote Velatria affix. Is that how it works? Because that sounds nuts.
I don't know if the mages need that much damage right
That's
now.
That's so much damage. That's like plus maybe, 200 maybe it'll damage.
Be a, maybe it'll be a possible fix when they eventually nerf Fragment of the Enigma.
I don't, oh my God. I don't know what they're going to do. But like, so that one comes to mind. There's another one for, because I was looking at things that say like more damage, less damage, you know, those kind of affixes. The Time Rot set is the...
it gives you global more void damage based on per time rot.
Yeah, more. Yeah, if you have all three of them equipped, more damage per time rot, which is like 12% more damage.
Being able to wear 36%. A real sword, a real amulet, and a real shield.
Yeah,
that might actually be good.
That sounds very strong.
Just don't play VK Warpath with it because apparently that build is dead now. Unfortunately, I don't know if you know this, but there was an Ateras Monthly, and you know how like. Warrior's Fury, the one where you get bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know how that was working on Echoes?
Yes.
That was a bug.
Oh.
Apparently.
Cool. Okay, good.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Woo!
Last bear, free 30 strength. Yeah, it's not free. Like, you gotta craft these affixes on your gear. And we'll talk a little bit about the crafting ramifications. Dread, the first set that you called out was the cold damage, like, per health regen, right?
Yeah, Shattered Lance set.
That
yeah.
sounds really strong if it works this way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of builds that can abuse it that way.
Now, like, the sword's not bad. Like, the sword's fine, but getting a real relic in that build sounds huge.
Mm-hmm.
So my question when it comes to, like, set endgame crafting, like, I've got two questions for it. First of all, if it's a shard, I craft with shards, that I put shards in my items. Does it have tiers, like tier 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Does it level up in tiers? Because if it does, that means that I can seal it on an item, because you have to be able to upgrade something in order to seal it. If it doesn't have tiers to it, I think that means you can't seal it because you're not able to upgrade it. So like, how does Glyph of Despair interact with this thing? Is going to be important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see. I just like the idea of just throwing set items in the trash. I like that.
My other non-trash can question is, how does this interact with legendary potential? Because it sure sounds like I can put a set affix onto an exalted item and then LP it onto a unique item.
Can I have a Vessel of Strife with the Shattered Lance set finally?
Holy really moly. Funny. Can you use Vessel of Strife and the set bonus at the same time? That sounds really
not
fucking
be OP
good.
Is all at all. Ooh. Totally not be broken. You should just let it happen.
Yeah. I mean, so whether how the set crafting works might end up shaping the meta of what, you know, power gamers want to be doing, like the, you know, the sweaty tryhards want to do.
Well, what I'm hoping for is if they do that, not explaining all of this is killing me. Luckily, I have to go pick up the kid from daycare. Well,
thanks, Mike.
Well, my problem only, I will say one thing about this that I don't like right now, is like there are some good set affixes, but there's also like the pebble set, which is like just really just bad, especially now with the context that you can get minion flat on your items and stuff.
Dude,
like
are
that.
They buffing the pebble set finally?
Like I my only problem is I hope we get more set items because of this.
Clip it. You want more set items?
Actually, you know, this is actually a buff to COF. Because CLF has a node.
Oh, it is.
The whole entire set.
It is. Oh, finally, a buff to CLF. I love that.
Yeah, it is a buff to CLF. Finally. We've been waiting 7 months.
Yeah, so set crafting is is potentially a huge meta-defining factor of the 1.2 patch. So, holy moly. I'm going to click through this video a little bit more. They talk about inventory tabs. And like keys will stack, so you don't need three stash tabs to keep track of all of your keys, which is wonderful. Let's see. They have dungeon key charms. This is an interesting approach to solve this. So a dungeon key charm, when you enter a dungeon, you put the key in, you have the option of not only putting the key, but also putting in a charm, and the charm will open a portal that takes you directly to the boss.
I mean, this just reminds me of what I said earlier about, like, arena echoes, like the node on the tree where, like, you can just disable the arena echoes. I kind of don't like the philosophy of the players have told us this content is terrible. Let's just remove it. And in this case, it's the same thing.
I agree with you. Like, I'm not sure.
I don't really like this, but you know,
I'm not sure this is the right answer. And I'm also not sure if this is a long-term answer, but it is a completely appropriate answer. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It'll make people happy.
Because my problem is like the portal charm doesn't fix Soulfire Bastion. It doesn't fix the Lightless Art. Like it does if you're trying to farm for the uniques that were initially like nerfed. So like I'll be honest, if you didn't nerf the drop rate of the uniques in the Soulfire Bastion and like the Lightless Artwork, you wouldn't need these portal charms.
Mm-hmm. And like even the doors going from like level 1 to level 2 in the Soulfire Bastion, the doors are important to you because you want to find like the right door and click the right modifier and get like extra bonuses.
So outside of Jirla, right, these are way too like these are stronger significantly for Jirla than they are for the other two.
Yes.
Because the other two, like if you actually want to interact with them, which you don't because the monsters you kill give no favor, which is the actual good way of getting gear currently in Last Epoch right now, if you're unaware, is favor farming. So it's just like, I don't know.
I would say like Temporal Sanctum with Jirla and Lightless Arbor are both good. But like, for Soulfire Bastion, this thing doesn't really make sense. So like, I'm not sure this is like a good solution long-term. Or like, because like you still have the dead ends supposedly, and the dead ends are annoying, and you know the places are large. But like, it's fine. I'm not going to complain about it. It's fine. I'll take it. I'll use it. I'll recommend it. Whatever. Another thing here was the WASD beta support.
Oh boy,
it's not going to interact with my life. I'm not a fan of it. Is this the best thing since sliced bread? Are you going to do it?
No, I didn't do it in PoE2 either. I don't need to.
People are going to love this. It's not me. It's not you.
My problem is like my problem with this just personally, I don't really care, by the way.
I don't care, but
you can keep WASD. Okay. But like from my point of view, like my mouse represents like in terms of WASD, my mouse represents like 6 buttons because you have the 2 clickers, right? And then you have, the left click. So you get 5 buttons because you get your right click and you get 4 extra buttons because the WASD, right? For moving, right? And if you do WASD, you literally lose 4 buttons on the left side of your keyboard that you have to press instead, right? Instead of just 1 on your mouse click, right? That's like my problem with WASD personally. That's why I don't like it and I don't use it because I usually end up playing builds that require more than 1 button to play, which i.e. most of Last Epoch is that way currently, by the way, just right now. So like,
the people who like ASWD, they have like those MMO mouses with like 17 buttons on the side, right? And like, I don't, and I've never used one, so I'm not going to.
Yeah. Maybe the thing is like, cool. It's good that we have different options.
Yes. Got it. Love it. I do hope that it doesn't become the best way of playing the game. I hope that if I just keep going mouse and keyboard, that I'm not at a disadvantage. As long as that's the case, I'm happy. I don't really have much to say about it. All right. Next up was the Aberroth balance changes. I guess he's only been out for a patch, which is a really long patch, but
the thing is like, even if they didn't announce it in the trailer, we were kind of assuming he was going to get a balance pass anyways, considering he's only been out for a patch.
Yeah. Like something's changing with him. Sure. But much more interesting than that is we already have the Uber Aberroth. So it's been exactly one patch. It was a long patch, but like it was exactly one patch. Like we already have who cares about Aberroth? That guy's small beans compared to the Uber Aberroth.
Yeah.
Sure. So can we fight 5 of them at the same time? Come on, let me do it.
My ballista falconer needs more of a challenge.
I don't know. I have no idea. Like the video doesn't really show us anything about what Uber Aberroth's going to be. So speculate away.
He's just going to enter, and it's like, you can only enter this arena as a Sentinel. There you go, Uber Aberroth.
What, does that make it harder? Because you had to be a Sentinel.
Yeah. It's just normal. It's just normal Aberroth, but you can only enter it as a Sentinel.
Sure. Yeah, I guess the only thing that I can say is we've seen a unique item that looks completely insane. It's a relic that has plus one to all skills.
Very similar to Nihilus, by the way.
You cannot be slowed. You have haste. And like a bunch of other stuff on it. And it looks
8%
like...
8% base crit.
Yeah, percent base crit. And it looks very generically strong. It looks very similar to Nihilus. And like it might have positive and negative rolls on it as well, right? Like maybe it says like you cannot have haste. Like you are always slowed. I don't know. It could be some shit like that.
It might drop from Uber Aberroth. Is that what you're
it
saying?
It sure fucking looks like it's gonna drop from Uber Aberroth.
It just drops normally.
Yeah. So your end game character has a Nihilus, like a well-rolled Nihilus, a well-rolled that relic, well-rolled red rings of Illyria. Like, sure, done. That's your character.
Whoop.
Whoop. And then just play static orb. Cool. Okay, so yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I said the next thing's the Sentinel rework, right?
Well, I skipped over it because I don't know if there's
you
much to say about
over
it. I did. It was like toward the beginning. I just kind of breezed over. I didn't
but
say
you gotta
anything.
You gotta explain to the viewer why Sentinel's getting reworked.
Why is Sentinel getting... Okay. Dear viewer, you're watching live on Twitch, you're watching on YouTube. All right, so dear viewer, Sentinel's getting reworked because they're addressing Volatile Reversal. Volatile Reversal has been the strongest part of Sentinel for a very long time. As more and more people started joining the game, it's become more and more apparent because when new players join the game, they ask, what's the strongest thing? And the answers have been bubbling to the top, and it's becoming more and more common knowledge that, yeah, Volatile Reversal is completely insane. So everybody knows it. And if you don't use Volatile Reversal, frankly, you shouldn't be playing Sentinel because you're just playing a bad Sentinel build. So thankfully, after all this time, EHG has been willing to disentangle that. They've been willing to address the elephant in the room, do something about Volatile Reversal, and add a bunch of power to the other Sentinel skills instead. It does seem strange to me that Sentinel has gotten so much attention over the past 2, maybe 3 years. Like, we've had Sentinel reworks, and we've had Forge Guard reworks, and we've had Paladin reworks, and like, we finally have a new marksman skill, which is good. But like, there's so much attention to Sentinel.
Well, I blame that on the update cadence, because we're getting like, if we were to think in terms of like a normal cadence of like 3 to 4 months, this wouldn't feel that long, because this has essentially been like 3 updates worth of time by now, right?
Yes.
So like, yeah, I think it only seems awkward because the game's just been in that state for so long, right? We've dealt with old Sentinel for so long.
Guess what's not been getting any attention since 0.8.4? Lich might be the most out of date master in the game. Poor Lich. I'm sorry, Mao. Lich is just crying in a corner. So what is the new Sentinel going to be? I don't know. Here's my insight for you. My insight was, while Shaman was getting attention, there were 2 Shaman patches. The first Shaman patch added a bunch of thresholds in his mastery tree, and they weren't quite enough. It was interesting, but it definitely wasn't enough. That's like when Gathering Storm got added to the game. And then they had a second patch where Shaman got a little bit more work, and they updated Avalanche. And now Shaman's like, he's good. He's just good.
Like, yeah, like I there's a few problems that I like, there's a few problems here and there, but it's not like the mastery is awful.
Yeah, we're not memeing on him anymore. He's great. So Forge Guard, I think Forge Guard is just one step behind. The first Forge Guard patch is the patch that is currently live right now. And like, it's shield badge exists, I guess, if you want to play it, if you want to spend all your time having an okay character. I think this next patch is going to be very good for Sentinel. I just something tells me that Sentinel is going to be totally fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be done. Fine. I mean, it's weird because like it goes deeper than that in my opinion, because like my problem with Sentinel in general is it was being carried by Volatile Reversal, right? Definitely. We can all agree
definitely
on that, by whether it be double or triple the amount of damage. But then if you take that into account, well, on top of taking into account, Sentinel was the lowest on the totem pole anyways in terms of masteries, right? In general. So
like low it, access to defense and stuff.
Yeah, like it is on, like in terms of, well, in terms of a lot of other things too, mm-hmm. damage too. Mm-hmm. Like there's only a few Sentinel skills that like get very close to the damage that like other classes can, you know, pump out, right? Like it feels like it's outclassed by every other mastery. And now if they're removing the only thing that even made them even close to the other masteries, right? Like not only would they have to like triple the damage of the dot builds on Sentinel, because like let's say I get to like I don't know, I was playing a shield throw forge guard mm-hmm. the other day, right?
That sounds like a very fair build, by the way. That does not sound OP.
I was doing like 700k ticks with Volatile Reversal, right?
Sure.
Cool. And I tried it out without Volatile Reversal, and I swapped in Abyssal Echoes instead because it gives similar bonuses. Mm-hmm. And I went from 700k to 500k, right? But my problem is I go on a rogue, and like my bleed Hail of Arrows rogue, we get like 2 million ticks, if not more, right? With mm-hmm. like less investment. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, my problem is like, it, like we're saying like, we've finally nerfed Volatile Reversal. And it's like, well, why are you nerfing Sentinel? It wasn't even strong in the first place.
We don't
place.
Know if it's a nerf. Listen, I'm on the copium. Lock it in right now. I think that patch 1.2, like Sentinel won't be a meme. Like I think
the multi-strike node tease, the one that lets all the swords hit the same target, that node makes multi-strike into a real skill. That's good.
I think the Sentinel rework for 1.2 coming out in April will be successful. I think there'll be multiple good builds. I think Forge Guard will not be a meme. I think
even
this is gonna
be
successful.
Bad, we can just play the other classes and have fun with the patch anyway.
Or we could all just play, you know, big mana sorks.
Done. Mm.
We have been told in the Ask the Dev section of the official Discord server that the number of nerfs, or sorry, the number of bug, was it bug fixes? I think it was bug fixes. The number of bug fixes will be so much that you won't want to like read it in one sitting. It sounds like there's a tremendous amount of bug fixes coming in the 1.2 patch, which good, well, because there's a lot of bugs in Last Epoch right now.
Oh yeah.
Good. And like,
well, I mean, we just got told one today about the Warrior's Fury thing, which makes me sad, but whatever.
Any bug fix could be enough to spawn a new meta build. Like there's multiple bugs with like Thonic Fissure that have to do with
the sword.
Yeah. Spine of Melatros. And like one bug fix in the patch notes that you might overlook could spawn like the next meta build. Like it looks awesome. Like maybe that ends up being like a new thing. I don't know how we're going to parse all of that in our heads just reading through it, but we're going to. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a lot of talking. 8-hour patch note review incoming. Yep. It's going to be wonderful.
Mike
can't wait.
Said specifically that he said that the patch notes are so large that you're not going to be able to see one in like, not be able to see a video that covers it all at once. And I take that personally.
It's a challenge, right? So the guy
personally.
I'm just going to record 10 hours.
Well, I'm going to do the abridged version and then, you know, the long version. We're going to do both. At this point, yeah.
Can I do text to speech and then just like have a react video to it? What? Is that what he did? Crazy. All right. Let's see. So we are at. We're a little bit over an hour for the recording of this podcast here. We've talked about the video, the teaser video, that it's like amazing. Love the teaser video right now. We talked about some of the spoilers from the dev stream for today. And we've also talked about white items periodically having super high Forza potential. So we've talked about everything under the sun. Is there anything else we need to talk about right now before we wrap up this return episode for the podcast?
No, good, because next week we're going to talk about all the uniques.
True enough, dude. That sounds like a good time. Do you want to like lock in like what's going to be like the best mastery and the worst mastery? What do you think?
I mean,
patch 1.2. I mean,
Falconer is still going to be the best, even if they nerf it by like 50%. It's still going to be the best.
Just mechanically, it's the strongest. Like you scale with minion damage, yeah. Scales percentage of your own damage. It doesn't take damage, doesn't need regen, doesn't need defense. God, Falconer is really strong, isn't it? Hmm. What's the worst going to be?
Well, at this point, let's say if Sentinel actually gets raised off the ground, I think it's going to be like probably just like Marksman at that point.
You think Marksman's going to be the worst? Worst or least played? What do you think?
I mean, least played at Markson? Least.
Even with a brand new skill? Come on, dude. People like both.
No,
people...
like if you like the problem is like the like, okay, the problem is like 99% of people won't care about this, but Marksman's defenses are kind of in the poop, like the toilet right now. So like if you actually want to push Marksman a decent like corruption, you need to actually like invest a
just
very
be a
large
glass amount. Cannon. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Let's just lose all our echoes. Woohoo.
All right. So I'm gonna go with you. I'll say that Falconer is gonna be like the best. Because like I think that Sorok is gonna be tapped down a little bit. Oh, and yeah. I don't think that for a Falconer can be tapped down. I think it's just like very mechanically strong. So I'll say Falconer best. I also think like it's got like a fan favorite because people like it because there's like cool themes and whatnot. I'll say maybe not the worst, but like worst slash least played, I will say Runemaster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Runemaster being mentioned or hyped up or talked about. I don't think it does anything different than Sorok right now. And we've seen one singular unique item that referenced Runemaster because it mentioned Grand Prism Nova, which is one of
the indications. We'll be talking about that soon, but spoilers, it's probably going to be very bad.
I am willing to have a hot take right now. I'll say that Runemaster is going to be the worst. If I end up being wrong, I didn't say this. Don't clip it. But I'm going to be right. Yeah. Runemaster is going to be the worst slash least popular.
It's kind of funny. I actually just recently played a Runemaster and had a really good success with it because you make Rune Bolt give you a very large amount of mana, and to do that, and that makes up for like Runemaster being bad because you just slot on like Volcanic Orb or something, and you can do a very large amount of damage that way. It actually ended up being very strong.
That's fun. All right, so in any case, this was episode. What was it?
It was 50s.
57,
56,
58,
50, 56,
I think. 56, 58. I thought it was 58. Was it really 56?
Oh, it's 58. Yeah.
It is, okay. 58. This okay. God, I thought it's. I've done it's this podcasting so, thing before.
I'm gonna do the math. It's been four and a half months. It's literally been 4.5 months since the last episode.
Yeah, we did a good job. This is a good episode to get the rust off and remember what the hell we're talking about. I like that. Oh, yeah. Episode 58. Rad City Radio Podcast. We do this podcast every week on a Friday basis on this Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PairThePig. It gets uploaded on YouTube. It gets uploaded on Spotify. It gets uploaded wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I think that's it. It's been fun. Dread, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you spending your time here. Sounds
Bye.
Good. And Twitch chats, whether you're watching live, whether you're watching after the fact, let me know where you're watching. We will make sure that your viewing and listening experiences as good as possible, so you can follow along with this podcast as well. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.